Now, since the political party conventions began in 1831, the basic format has gone pretty much unchanged. Then, as we've heard so many times this year, cue the coronavirus. Normally, we'd have seen bashes in filled-to-capacity venues. Instead, people delivered speeches in empty rooms, some things were pre-recorded, and there wasn't a lot of room for spontaneity. Plus, the host cities of Milwaukee and Charlotte missed out on major economic opportunities. But the virtual setup had its advantages, too, including being safer, more controlled, and shorter. So which way is better? Laura Brown is an associate professor and the director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. She's also the author of multiple books, including Amateur Hour, Presidential Character, and The Question of Leadership, which came out last month. She's here to help us answer that question. Laura, nice to have you back on the show.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's great to be with you today.
How well do you think the Democrats and Republicans adapted to this more virtual approach to their conventions?
Well, I think the Democrats did a better job, but part of that was because they had more time to plan and think about, conceptualize sort of the entire virtual convention. The Republicans were really kind of left flat-footed because the president wanted originally to continue his convention in Charlotte, and then he wanted to go to Jacksonville for speeches. And because of those switches in the plans, they were left with trying to make the best of a bad situation, which then meant that the Republicans decided they were going to use a lot of sites and locations in and around Washington, D.C., which certainly brought up ethical concerns to many who were watching.
So overall, before we kind of dig into each, would you consider this year's conventions a success?
Well, I think they were successful in some ways. I mean, I do think that when you look at national party conventions, they had mostly been for the participants who traveled to those host cities and took part as delegates or as activists engaged in kind of the hoopla and the festivities that were around the conventions. I don't think that in the modern era, since these conventions have been largely uncontested, not very exciting for television audiences, that they really have brought people together across the country in a way that they were originally intended to. And this is where I think there were and was a real advantage to the grassroots engagement that people could have, even if it was just taping a video.
Let's take a listen now to Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett during the Democratic National Convention.
It was the first time a major political party chose Wisconsin to hold its convention. But these are not conventional times. And as a result, as we all know, this is not a conventional convention. And as much as we would have loved to host you in person, I am proud that the Democratic Party and the city of Milwaukee have made the health of our residents our number one priority.
Laura, do you think having a more scaled back convention in the name of safety registered with voters?
Well, I think it's certainly registered in terms of there was a public effort put forth by both parties to say we have to be thoughtful about what we're doing. We can't bring thousands of people together in the midst of a pandemic. That would be irresponsible, and it would certainly not demonstrate any form of leadership that would build or generate voter trust.
And you think that got across to people then?
Well, I think for those people who watched it, I mean, the difficult part about these conventions, when you're really talking about them, is that the television format does lend itself to being one large infomercial. Right? It's kind of a sales pitch to the public. And lacking drama, the public isn't necessarily so interested in watching it. So activists watch it, those who are committed partisans engage. But you know, in its height, we're talking over those last couple weeks with first the Democrats and then the Republicans, you know, there were about 25 million people tuning in. That is a good night for politics. That is not a great night if you're comparing it to Super Bowl ratings or something else. So as a television event, these conventions have always been somewhat lackluster, at least in the modern era when the nominees have been largely uncontested or without the drama of the uncertainty about who would win the presidential nomination.
Laura Brown is the director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University, and we're talking about the virtual aspect of the political conventions this year and whether even after the risk of COVID-19 subsides, if we should really stick with some of those strategies. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. How much of the conventions did you watch? What did you like or dislike about the virtual setup? Did you think something was really effective or something really fell flat this year? Let's talk about it at 800-642-1234. Now, we heard from something from the Democratic National Convention. On the other hand, Republicans seem to highlight that the pandemic wasn't going to keep them from doing the work that needed to be done. Here's former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker.
Oftentimes, the media doesn't understand how Donald Trump and Mike Pence can be such a great team. But I got to tell you, they're a lot alike. Both are successful chief executives. Both are doers, not just talkers. And both have a deep and abiding love for America and for the American people. That's why both of them were in Wisconsin last week during the Democrats' convention while Joe Biden was hanging out in his basement in Delaware.
Laura, who do you think Walker was trying to appeal to there?
Well, certainly the Republicans were saying, look, we are doing things while the Democrats are having their convention. So if the Democrats are doing all of this virtual and everything is pre-taped, even if they've done a good job of bringing in people from all across the country with their videos and their comments, there is still the lack of kind of live activity engaged with it. Certainly there wasn't much happening in Milwaukee. And so I think, you know, former Governor Scott Walker was trying to say, look, Republicans are on the move. They're really campaigning. They're really out there in a retail way. And some of this is obviously connecting in that there was a focus group that was done in Wisconsin whereby, you know, swing voters in Wisconsin did say that they felt as though the Biden campaign hadn't really connected with them or been concerned with them as much as they were with some other issues that were highlighted at the convention, namely issues related to systemic racism.
We're talking about the Republicans and the Democrats' virtual conventions, what worked and what didn't, whether we may see more of these in the future. Laura Brown is our guest. She's an associate professor and the director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. And there's a line for you. What do you think? 800-642-1234. Did you like the largely virtual conventions, or do you prefer the cheering crowds with funny hats and that live pomp and circumstance? Maybe you didn't tune in at all. Why? Why didn't you think that it was important to watch? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm Keely Boltina. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Keely Boltina, and we are talking about this year's political conventions. The DNC and the RNC both held big parts of their conventions as virtual in empty rooms or with pre-recorded elements. Some people thought that actually made for better events. Not everybody, though. Laura Brown is our guest. She's an associate professor and the director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. You can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. Did you think this year's conventions were done well, or did they lack a little bit of excitement? What about the substance? You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. 1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. Laura, we talked about the fact that most Americans seem kind of uninterested in these conventions. If that's the case, why do we have them?
Well, we have to have them because the parties have a whole series of rules around what has to happen in order to win and earn the presidential nomination. So the roll call of the states, which the Democrats, I think, did exceedingly well during that convention, you know, where they had all of the videos of all of the different party chairs and delegates announcing the votes for Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, and those came to you from all across the country, and they were put together into a very compelling video. The Republicans tried to do some of that. Everyone was in Charlotte, and so many of the people essentially just gave a quick, you know, and this state is for President Trump. But what we did see, and what we do know, is that that has to happen. The parties have to vote on their nominees. They have to vote on the president, the vice president, and they also need to pass a platform. Now, the Republicans chose to essentially adopt the 2016 platform rather than pass a new one. But some of that is about what parties do. There's also, if I might add, just one other legal piece that I don't think most Americans realize. And that is when the presidential nominee officially accepts their party's nomination, that changes their status in the Federal Election Commission reporting from being a primary candidate to now a general election nominee. So all of the fundraising and the legal reporting also changes with that moment of the acceptance speech.
We are taking calls at 800-642-1234 while we talk with Laura Brown about the conventions this year. And we've got Kay from Altoona who's given us a call. Hi, Kay.
Hi. I did listen to parts of both conventions, and I really feel that the digital format is better than the face-to-face conventions because we focus more on what the speakers have to say rather than people pop bouncing around with signs and wearing goofy hats. And then I also feel kind of discouraged by other people that are commenting that it seems like it's all personal for them rather than thinking about what's best for the country. They feel like Joe Biden or Donald Trump was not paying enough attention to them. Well, that's never going to be the case. I don't know. I just think that people need to think of this more as a global perspective rather than personally. Do I personally resonate with that person? It doesn't matter.
Okay, thanks for that perspective. And Kay spent time watching those virtual conventions, says, hey, it was effective.
Well, I will say I thought it was effective too. And I really agree with her on the fact that the content of what was said became more important in a virtual format. I mean, you know, you can look at something like former First Lady Michelle Obama's speech. Had she given that speech live in person at an actual convention, what took her 17 minutes to deliver probably would have been an hour because it would have been interrupted by numerous applause and cheering. And while that does convey a sense of enthusiasm, some of what she said would have been lost because it would have been extended out and not come in kind of the condensed persuasive format of her just speaking face to face to the camera from her sofa. So I do think there are ways that these virtual conventions showed a different side of the parties than what is usually seen.
Thanks so much for the call, Kay. And we've got Carol in Menominee who wants to talk about the virtual conventions. Hi, Carol.
Hello. Yes, I agree with the previous caller. I much preferred this convention. I thought it made it real. This is a very, very serious business. It's not just a circus and a big party. And I really preferred it. And I especially liked the roll call, the virtual roll call by states. And I thought the Democrats did a very good job with that. They had real people, real citizens, giving their, just rooting for their state. And I really thought that was effective.
Oh, Carol, thank you so much for calling and helping us understand your perspective. And I know, Laura, you talked about how effective that roll call was. We're talking with Laura Brown, who's our guest. She's written multiple books, teaches at George Washington University. And we've got Jeff from Onalaska who wants to join the conversation, too. Hey, Jeff.
Hi there. I just thought that Biden really missed an opportunity to connect from with Wisconsinites by not accepting the nomination from Milwaukee. I unfortunately think he kind of took up bait from Hillary Clinton, making assumptions on Wisconsinites that we have kind of our minds made up and we're going to swing back blue. And I didn't like the virtual format. I've got enough virtual. And I think both really the DNC missed an opportunity to connect with Wisconsin.
Jeff, thanks for that. Laura, what about that missed opportunity not being in Milwaukee?
Well, I do think it is a missed opportunity. I mean, I will tell you that I actually thought one of the more effective speeches was the speech when, vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris spoke, because what was interesting to me about her speech was that she was standing in a convention hall and there were all of these state signs behind her and it was empty. And it was almost another reinforcing message about how difficult life is in this pandemic. So I will tell you, I understand that need to connect with voters at the retail level and on the personal level. I think it probably would have been good for Vice President Biden to travel to Milwaukee and to have given his speech from an empty hall in Milwaukee. I do think that President Trump and Vice President Pence, they did do speeches with actual audiences. I don't know that that helped them, because I do think many of the pundits and most of the media commentary was talking about the fact that those people were not socially distanced, nor were they wearing masks. So I think there's a balance here. You know, how do you go there but convey the difficulty of the situation that we are all in as Americans?
Yeah. Laura, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Laura Brown is an associate professor and the director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University.